about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hello?
Hello, Bill. This is Pablo.
Where are you?
I won't be able to make it today because I'm at the bottom of the pool.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, God. Smell it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh. So good. What?
And now.
How about that whole deal?
Our feature presentation.
Right? How about that whole deal?
Indeed.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 28th of February.
So, what's everybody doing for Mardi Gras today?
Says the guy who lives in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Not really anything.
Why isn't, this is a serious question. Why hasn't Mardi Gras spread the way so many other holidays have, you know, like Oktoberfest and, you know, St. Patrick's Day? Why don't they have Mardi Gras celebrations?
You mean
and
like
parties
parades and stuff?
Parades and things like that, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's based on being able to walk down the street holding liquor.
Oh,
I feel like that's a big part of it.
Oh, I see. And in most places, you can't do that.
Right.
I guess I just never heard of, you know, all the years I've lived in all the various cities that are in New Orleans, I've just never heard of a big push around that day for.
Yeah.
Celebrations or parties or specials or bar events or anything like that.
Oh, there's bar events and stuff like that, yeah.
There are.
Oh,
they do that.
Yeah,
it just doesn't expand beyond that.
Big time, yeah, right.
Beyond that, yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to be out there, you know, shaking that ass like I do.
Saw a video being posted yesterday of a parade. Was that yesterday?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, man. That looks so fun. That just reminded me of what a great city that is.
That is miles and miles every single day for 2 weeks
yep.
of people doing parades like that. Yeah, I'm. This won't surprise you. I'm about ready for it to be over.
No,
it's about time for the kids to get off my lawn. I got to be honest.
Listen, I want to see you pick up an instrument, even if you can't play it. And I want you to put on wacky clothes, and I just want you to blend in with those people.
Just join a parade,
please, and send them put up a video. Please do that.
I don't. A clarinet.
Take some kind of a lame instrument.
I don't think that's for me.
A piccolo. Come on. It would be so funny.
No. Hey, I thought this was an interesting article. We talk from time to time, and I always seem to be on my own on this one. I'm the guy who, given the opportunity to know the date of my own death, would absolutely want to know it. And apparently most people don't feel that way, which is a surprise to me because I feel like you could plan your life out and make a lot more sense of the time, whatever time you have left, if you knew how much time you have left.
I think you could, except for what if you have, you know, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years left?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't need – nothing is important now because I have that long. Maybe it works the opposite way.
Maybe, but I would
if you only have a year, I can see how that would help you plan.
But I would think if you went in today and they said, Kevin, you've got 50 years left, I think that would be such a relief. I think you would be so happy with that news that you'd really be able to just kind of enjoy it. You know?
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I don't think about when I'm going to die really daily at all.
Well,
ever.
You should. You really
ever.
Should start thinking
so
about it at this point.
So if they were to say, hey, you're going to live, it wouldn't be a huge relief because that's just sort of an assumption on my part.
Here is a study that was conducted, and I don't know statistically how accurate this is. They asked 2,000 adults in Germany and Spain. They were asked about a range of both positive and negative potential events and whether they would want to be aware of them in the future. In other words, do you want spoiler alerts on your life?
Right.
And their conclusion was that 90% of people do not want to know what the future holds, even when that information is positive. For instance, one of the questions they asked is, would you want to know now whether your marriage would end in divorce or not? And the overwhelming majority said no. again, that's a huge surprise to me. I would think you would want to know that.
And you know what? I think that would ruin it.
Really?
Yeah, I think whatever time you have left between now and then, you would already be soured on it because you know it's going to end. So you wouldn't put any effort into it and you would miss out on good times.
Yeah, maybe so. And I don't know how – and here's the other thing that's kind of interesting because we're talking about the future that you do have some control over. I don't know how you wouldn't affect that.
Right.
Like you're talking about, if you know your marriage is going to end in divorce, you become a terrible person now because you know it's not going to last.
Right.
And it will end in divorce. I mean,
right.
It's almost self-fulfilling prophecy. But could the other thing happen where they tell you it's going to end in divorce and now you change the future by doing everything you can to make sure that it doesn't end in divorce?
Are we still humans?
We are still humans.
Then no, that doesn't exist.
I mean, some of the things make sense. Like – do you want to know who wins the Kings game tomorrow night, for instance?
Yes, I could put a tremendous amount of money on it.
See, now they didn't ask about that. That would be good,
I
right?
I gamble on that every time.
I could see not wanting to know what Christmas presents you're going to get, for instance, because that's the surprise.
Is,
you know, opening that gift and not knowing what it is. There's only one area where people more overwhelmingly, 63% of the 2,000 people surveyed wanted to know the future. Only one thing that consistently they said, yes, I'd want to know. And that is...
Can I guess?
Yes.
Health of a loved one.
That's a good guess.
You know, like your dad's going to get sick and pass away in a year or something. Then you can actually change things and spend a lot of time and that kind of thing, no?
Yeah, that's a really good guess. That's not the one that came out here. This one was finding out the sex of their unborn child is something that more people would want to know than wouldn't. Because for a lot of people, that's... A lot of people, they love the surprise of, is it a boy or is it a girl? But a lot of people would prefer to know so they can kind of plan accordingly for whatever reason. So only 1% of participants consistently wanted to know what the future held. I am just stunned by that. I'm a guy who needs to have more information.
Right. But you know how we like to take the way I am and then I take that and I extrapolate it to that's the way most people are.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really do that with anything.
Well, apparently not with this. That's for sure. So anyway, so there you go. I thought that was an interesting study. You probably already knew about it. Somebody already probably told you about that years ago.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeMeo, shall we?
You wouldn't get it. It's not for people like you.
People on an airline can be super annoying. And you had to confront somebody. I assume, and I don't want your answer now, Bean, but I assume you've confronted someone.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Because you're a confronter.
I will think about that.
We're going to talk to you today if that's the issue. We also have a brand new What's Up with Florida.
What's Up with Florida?
Right. We have the Bachelor Report.
Oh, I can't wait. They went to Finland last night.
Oh, Bean must have been Finland. So jealous.
I am so jealous. I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen any recaps. Of course, I don't watch the show, but they overnight trip to Finland. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that.
And also, K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 Destination Number 5, which is Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. You win tickets to see them at Staples Center, and you qualify for that trip to Rio this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. LA and OC's Third Eye Blind Station.
Yeah, we are.
K-Rock.
Home of Third Eye Blind.
It's The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:51.
They were in the HD radio sound space yesterday. Kevin, didn't you come back to the station to see Third Eye Blind?
That was AFI.
Yeah. Oh, it was AFI. I'm
AFI,
sorry.
Yeah.
Very those too confused. Yeah. How was that, by the way?
If you had future knowledge, you would have known that.
That's
you would have
true.
Known who was there. You could have decided whether to come or not.
How do you come down on that one, Ralph?
Of course not.
You don't want to know, right?
No.
Why do you not want to know?
Because
it ruins everything.
No good can come from it. Either
except for the part where you know your future is secure.
But what
That's
if it
the
isn't?
Worst case.
Now, then you get to dread the outcome, the negative outcome, right up until it actually happens. Your life is filled with nothing but dread because you know what's coming down the track.
Your life is filled with nothing but relief that you know you have X number of years, months, and days until you die.
See, the difference here is that Ralph and I, our lives aren't filled with dread daily, and
right.
we don't want it. Bean's life is filled with dread
daily.
I don't
want a countdown calendar because he's like, oh, you know, you have lots of years to enjoy. What if you don't have lots of years? What if it ends up being 3 months and then every time you look at the calendar, it's another day ticked off? And then what's the last week like? What's the last day like before you know that tomorrow's the day?
Right, but I'm saying that's Bean's life.
That's true.
He looks at a calendar and says, oh, I wonder if I'm going to make it through the day.
But Ralph, if you had 3 months left, God forbid, you would wake up this morning and you would be having a very different experience than you are right now. You would not be wasting your time.
I'd be effing depressed. Because I knew in 3 months I'd be dead.
You'd just be effing. That's what you'd be doing. Not depressed.
Maybe both.
I'm just saying, you guys.
Right. Yeah, but you're wrong.
So
you're saying it, but you're wrong. What you're saying is wrong. We're not saying you're not saying. What we're saying is what you're saying is wrong. stop saying it.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Okay.
In my opinion, incorrect.
Okay, no. Thank you, Mr. President. Rob is here with our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
You need to be surprised, good or bad. That's the way life works.
Agreed.
Good surprise? Oh, my God, this is great. I never saw this coming. Bad surprise? I'm so glad I didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
Point in fact. You know who Bob Harper is?
No.
Bob Harper.
Sure.
Bob Harper is the ultra-fit, chiseled trainer from The Biggest Loser.
Okay.
He's the guy.
I don't watch that show, but
you've seen him in the commercials.
Drill sergeant guy,
drill sergeant kind of guy, close cropped hair,
healthiest man in the world,
healthiest man in the world. Come on, you could do 7 more squats, you big fat ass. He's that guy.
Okay,
he's in the gym this week. He's working out. Boom, collapse.
Oh no,
done. Doctor was on the scene, started administering CPR, and had to use a defibrillator to get his heart beating again.
Wow,
massive heart attack. Boom, just out.
Now, Bean, you do or do not like that?
Well, what do you mean, like it? Of course, I never want anybody to have a heart attack.
But how would Bob have felt if they had told him 6 weeks ago, you know, in 6 weeks, you're going to have a massive heart attack while you're at the gym. You're just going to go down and you'll be close to death.
They'll have to bring you back.
Oh, this is great. Can't wait. I can't wait for this next 6 weeks to go by. This is going to be awesome. No, because Bob Harper's sitting in his apartment eating ice cream, Netflixing because he's so depressed.
Probably doesn't have that heart attack, though, does he?
See, you think you can affect the outcome. You're talking about things that are preordained. These are things that are going to happen.
Look, I'm not saying we have a perfect system here yet, all right?
Oh, my God, there's no system.
I'm not saying we don't still have some work to do on the specifics of it.
Anyway, Bob is recovering in the hospital, and he is on the mend. But this guy, nobody's in better shape than this guy.
Yeah.
See, nobody gets out alive, man. Nobody gets any promises. And apparently, I think we can take away from this, working out is awful for you.
Right, don't exercise.
Don't exercise,
right?
Because next thing you know, you got paddles on you. Clear. You don't hear that. When you're at
I've been
gym.
Ahead of that curve for years, by the
right?
way, not exercising.
Been saving up all his energy.
I'm just doing all. The only thing I'm doing now is the carb loading. That's the only part of that
Sweet.
I'm doing, is just the constant carb loading.
Well, you need all that energy.
Right.
It's science.
That next 50 years you're getting.
Exactly.
I love
Thank
that
you,
this
Ralph.
Morning, too, by the way. When they tell that in 50 years?
I'm going to live to be 100. You guys
all right,
know
let's
that.
Let's guess. Let's guess about beans.
I think maybe 50 days. That's what I'm guessing.
I was going to say 10 years. I was going to give him 10
come
years.
On.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You're a sport. You're just tempering that with emotion. You're trying to be nice.
Why would you say that?
Be realistic.
Bean says, I'm trying to be nice, but I mean, Ralph says, I'm trying to be nice by saying 10 years.
Look, yes. But what are the things that you look at, the indicators to somebody living a long life? You look
they
at family history. Family history, first and foremost. Right. My father's 80. His father lived it well into his 80s. Okay. So mm-hmm. I think I have a reasonable explanation. I don't drink. I don't smoke.
Well, you need to start drinking.
I don't eat red
meat.
I mean, I have a lot of things going in my favor.
Ralph, don't you want to see Bean in one of those parades in New Orleans?
Flashing his nipples?
No,
like
not
in that picture, getting beads?
No, he put up a video of one of those parades. They're walking down. They all have instruments. They're all dressed like clowns.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I was like, Bean, come on. Put on some clothes and just fit in with them. Take any musical instrument.
I see him doing that shuffle down the street.
Take any musical instrument, the lamer the better. I thought piccolo, and just go get in a parade. You could do that, and they would be happy to have you.
I don't think that's the secret to my long life. Is
being joy?
A yeah.
But you don't particularly exercise.
I don't.
You don't take care of yourself in that way.
I mean, but
you're,
I mean,
you.
I'm reasonably fit. I'm not
you
overweight.
You pass out getting out of bed.
I have low blood pressure. That is.
Have you ever broken your ribs on a radiator getting out of bed?
You know I have, Ralph.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's not an indicator of a hearty inhale peasant stock.
I'm just saying a nice light stroll with the parade. Just a very...
Kevin is determined to get me in a parade.
Just a very tempered pace so that you're not really pushing it.
Bean will only participate in a parade in New Orleans when it's one of those funerals. When they get...
He'll fall into every one of those.
Right, when they're doing those things where they dance down the street with the coffin.
The Bean, second line, yep.
Yeah, Bean would be in for that.
Yeah. Look, at this point, I just want to outlive both of you guys just for sweet, sweet revenge.
Oh,
okay?
No, that's not going to happen. Whatever it takes. If I just get one more day than you, I will see you in the ground.
You do want to dance on my grave.
I've only made one promise to myself, and that's it.
And to see me in
We're
going to
march in a parade here on that day.
Well, it all comes full circle. I'll be at least part of a parade.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Allie Larder is 41 years old today.
Right.
She's on Pitch. What's happening with Pitch? Do we know? Has Pitch been
around a while? It hasn't come back. It's been gone a while. I love that show.
Yeah, she's great.
It's really well done.
Cindy Wilson of the B-52s, singer for that band, is 60 years old. Also 60 is John Turturro. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried is 62 years old. And singer Jake Bugg, 23. Anybody? Jake Bugg?
Yeah, I know him. I like him. British singer-songwriter. He's good.
All right. There you go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
30 minutes from right now, we're going to give away tickets for the... No, I'm sorry, not 30 minutes, but just after 7 o'clock, we're going to give away tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Staples Center and qualify you to see them in Rio de Janeiro.
That's a pretty sweet deal. We got Ducks tickets on the program for Friday night as well to give away. And it's Tuesday. That means the Bachelor Report just after 8. First, though, hey, guys, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Discovered over the years doing this Kevin and Bean show that Florida is the wackiest state, and they rarely disappoint. And it's another really, really good batch.
And by the way, not just by a little bit.
Yeah.
They destroy the other 49 states.
They sure do. They sure do. And Kevin, I thought of you with this first story. You know, every once in a while, there's a time in your life where you go, what am I doing? How am I living? You know, maybe you're locked out in your garage naked.
Sure.
Or it's another day in the Zero Club. And you just think, this is no way to live a life. Well, I think that's what's going on with this young man. His name is Stephen Charles Kirkland. He's in a lot of trouble down there in St. Petersburg, Florida. The other morning, he broke into a home and startled a sleeping woman inside. She woke up on her couch and found him standing over her, dressed as SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes.
She was startled. He ran out the door. 20 minutes later, he was seen at another place in the neighborhood looking through the window of a home where a woman was getting dressed for work. She saw him, called police. By the way, he's terrible at peeping because he keeps getting caught.
A, yes. B, don't you try and blend in a little bit?
I would think so.
Why
are you wearing a SpongeBob costume?
Because meth.
Well, maybe so, yes. So she jumps up. He leaves and runs away, and the police are called, and they are in pursuit of him, and he tries unsuccessfully to hide in a trash can where he was actually pulled out of and arrested. And that's the Kevin moment in this story, when he's hiding in a trash can dressed as SpongeBob SquarePants at 7:30 in the morning. He has to be thinking, am I making all the right choices here?
I'd like to object to the use of the word the Kevin moment, if you don't mind.
Mr. Kirkland apparently was already wanted for 2 counts of lewd and lascivious behavior from back in January. He's also a suspect in an indecent exposure case in Bay Vista Park that same day, January 22nd. He's making a lot of poor choices, is what I'm saying, so I hope he gets his act together. We go to Tallahassee up next. Here's a Florida woman who is suing a popular Mexican restaurant after she claims she was injured falling off a donkey statue.
Right? How many times has that happened?
Her name is Kimberly Bond. She is seeking damages in excess of $15,000 related to an incident on August 31st at the El Jalisco restaurant in Tallahassee. The lawsuit was filed this month where she claims she was climbing on the life-size donkey statue to have her picture taken, which the restaurant, in the words of her attorney, permitted and encouraged when she slipped off the back, fell on the floor, and suffered significant injuries, including a fractured spine.
Oh, my God.
Now, Kevin, you be the judge here. Whose fault is it if I'm in your Mexican restaurant and I climb up on the donkey
That's
in the lobby
you.
And fall off?
It's on you.
I would think so, too.
Except for You said the management said go ahead and do it?
Well, what her attorney is claiming is that the restaurant permitted and encouraged people to get on the donkey to get their photos taken.
Yeah, I still feel like that's on her.
According to the lawsuit, the restaurant was negligent in creating the hazard without adequate safety features, determining whether the statue was slippery, or failing to warn customers about the dangers involved in climbing on the statue. I'd be willing to bet any amount of money there's liquor involved here, by the way, and that's why she fell off. The lawsuit, which seeks a jury trial, claims that the woman suffered bodily injury resulting in pain and suffering and disability and disfigurement and mental anguish and loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life, expense of hospitalization, medical and nursing care, loss of earning. It just goes on and on and on and on and on from just jumping up on a donkey.
Wow.
What's up with that? Here's a story from the Bradenton Herald in Florida. This is one of the most bizarre things. I wish there were video of this. A guy is in Florida and sees an alligator, which, by the way, is not uncommon. It's bizarre how many alligator stories come out of Florida. I mean, they live in a place where alligators just roam through their yards and across their golf courses, and it's just the cost of doing business living down
there.
Yeah,
that's a thing. It's fine.
It's just a thing, right. He sees an alligator who somehow has snatched a bird out of the sky, Kevin.
Wow.
It's a bald eagle. And he says...
That's a baller alligator.
Yes, it is. He says it was his patriotic duty, this man. It's a bald eagle. It's a national treasure. It stands for who we are and what we are. He jumps into the lake and wrestles with the alligator to pull the eagle out of the gator's mouth. He's wearing a cowboy hat and camouflage shorts, by the way, as he does this. This is so Florida and so America, isn't it? He pulls the eagle out of the alligator's mouth. Now, I have to wonder, just because he was so moved by the fact that this was our national symbol, if it's a pigeon, does he just not jump in?
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, it's just because it's an apple, right?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, there was too much damage done to the eagle. Its legs were rendered useless, and it had been cut in the throat by the alligator. So he did take it to the vet, and it had to be euthanized because of its injuries. But he did the best he could. He said he just couldn't watch America's symbol die. And finally, and I think you'll enjoy this story very much, this looks like a classic case of a guy coming home drunk in the middle of the night and getting into an argument with and shooting his girlfriend. Unfortunately, well, or maybe fortunately, depending, he says that's not what happened. Here's the news report from Fox TV.
The 25-year-old who lives in this home tells police his dog Diesel was the shooter.
Okay, so it wasn't me. I didn't shoot my girlfriend. It was my dog.
He's got a pretty good
shot. His girlfriend tells police she was asleep when it happened, and she doesn't know what exactly went down.
I could see policemen walking down the sidewalk.
Diana Fay didn't know what to think when she saw police and first responders on her street Tuesday night.
If somebody had broke in, if somebody had died, I didn't know.
All right, so this is they go to the neighbor to find out what she thinks about her neighbor's story about the dog shooting the girlfriend.
Right.
This neighbor did not have the man's back.
I just got myself back in the house.
And this is how she reacted when I told her why they were all here.
Bogus.
What makes you say that?
A dog can't fire a gun.
Come on, have my back. You're my neighbor.
No, are you crazy?
You don't know, man.
Yeah, but to have his back, you have to admit that the dog fired the gun.
Why are you just automatically assuming my story is bogus and the dog didn't shoot the lady? Come on.
That's crazy.
It might sound like an extreme version of my dog ate my homework, but that's what 25-year-old Brian Murphy says happened. He told police he brought his dog Diesel back into the bedroom after a late-night walk when he saw a flash and heard a bang. He told JSO he believes Diesel jumped on the nightstand where his gun was sitting, and it went off.
Come on, Kevin, why are you laughing? That's a very reasonable story. Let's see what the neighbor thinks.
Shooting his girlfriend in the leg.
Have you seen a dog fire a gun? In a cartoon, maybe.
All right. Sounds like she's not buying the story. So we'll have to wait and find out what the jury or judge determines on that case. And this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Kevin, I know you famously don't watch the news because you're a kid, but how about the President of the United States of America and an address to Congress tonight? How about that?
I don't want to get political, but I didn't watch that with presidents I liked.
Okay, so you're out. You're out for tonight.
I'm just out because it's politics.
A lot of people are very interested to see what the president has to say. Some will say that it has been a tumultuous first 40 days or so, and that this is his opportunity to kind of reset the plan a little bit. Give me his theme song, if you would, as we bring the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who has many topics on his mind tonight. as he addresses Congress and the nation. Mr. President, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
So many things, so many wonderful things
mm-hmm.
that I'm doing and that need to be talked about. And finally, I will take my message directly to the people. No more fake news, okay? Uh-huh. With these, you know, the press, they just make up things. If they don't have a source, they'll make up a source.
Right.
They'll just say whatever they want and claim that it's real. And a lot of guys have told me that the news is fake, okay?
But
and
you're
I
basing
they make
the...
up fake sources. They don't name the sources.
Right.
They don't name them. We don't know who they're talking about. And a guy told me that the New York Times, the offices there smell like Brussels sprouts, okay?
Okay. That's who's your source? Who's your source for that, Mr. There's President? Who's the guy?
A lot of people are saying it, okay?
But you don't want to name them.
A lot of people tell me that the people at CNN poop with the door open while they're at the bathroom.
I don't think there's any proof of that.
Unbelievably disgusting.
It sounds like something you just made up, though.
The Washington Post is printed with kitten blood.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
I think that's verifiably untrue.
A guy told me, a guy named Bronco told me
his name is Bronco?
Yeah. Yes.
Seems unlikely.
And
seems reliable.
His nickname. Okay.
And that
is the truth. So
okay.
I will be bringing my message directly to the people.
Okay.
And they will learn quickly, very quickly, how great I am.
How great you are. Okay, let me ask you about a couple of things, if you don't mind. First of all, you've been given a bunch of interviews lately, and you've been talking about how it's all about defense. It's all about time for America to start winning wars.
Yes, we're going to win wars. We don't win wars anymore.
That's what you've been saying, yes.
We used to never lose a war, mm-hmm. and now we can't win a war. We don't win, and we're going to win again, okay? We're going to be winning. I'm going to raise defense spending 10%.
That's what I hear.
We're going to rebuild the horrible, failing defense, and then we're going to start winning wars. We need to win wars. We need a lot of wars and a lot of winning.
Well, I don't think we need a lot of wars.
Yes,
I think we're
do.
Still trying
we need
to...
a lot of wars.
Really? I think we want to try to stay out of war if we
no,
can,
we
though,
want to
we?
Win wars. We need wars
I mean,
we can win.
If wars need to be fought, we would like to win.
Besides whether they need to be fought or not,
okay.
We need to fight them and we need to win them.
Okay.
And that's why tonight I'm going to announce I am starting some wars.
But oh,
small
no.
ones, just to get a few good ones under our belt.
No.
That I know we can win.
Okay.
We're
going to
pick on some countries I know we can kick their ass.
I don't think that you
Finland.
Should do that.
We're going to start a war with Finland.
But Finland is an ally. Why would you start a war
because
with them?
Because we can beat them and we need to win. We're going to Finland. Iceland. We're going to fight Iceland.
Okay.
We're going to win.
Because of Bjork?
And Legoland.
Legoland?
We're going to start a war with Legoland.
Is it Legoland in San Diego?
I'm not. I don't know. I said, give me some land.
All right.
They suggested Disneyland, but I know Disneyland is a strong ally in California Adventure, and I don't want to take on a war on two fronts.
Okay. All right.
California Adventure has that Air Force. Where they soar over California.
Right,
I don't
yes.
want to deal with that.
Okay. It sounds like you've given this a lot of thought,
a lot
Mr.
of
President.
Thought. Who yep. knew it could be so complicated?
Right.
To start a war. I had
Who
no
knew?
Idea.
Okay, now
and
about that.
Plenty of other things.
Right, you did say yesterday. In fact, I actually have the piece of tape. I thought this was interesting.
Now, I have to tell you, it's an unbelievably complex subject. Nobody knew that health care could be so complicated.
Okay, now, didn't everybody know how complicated health care was?
Who
and
knew?
That's why it was so difficult
Nobody
to get...
Nobody knew that health care could be complicated. Nobody.
But
Nobody
President
guessed.
Obama said that hundreds of times.
Nobody said it, ever.
He
Nobody.
Said it. It's on tape.
Everyone always says, oh, health care, it's very simple. Very simple.
I've not heard that once.
And I was the guy who got into it, and I realized it's very complicated.
Oh, Nobody, you were the one who figured it out.
Nobody knew how complicated it was until I said, whoa, this is complicated.
Well, I guess we're lucky to have you then.
Very quickly. So many others, a lot of people.
Okay, all right. Let me ask you about one other thing, Mr. President. You did an interview with Breitbart this week.
Yes, finally, real news.
Finally, real news, right, where you talked about it. I had to check and double-check this quote to make sure it was accurate. You said the reason the wrong name was read of the best picture at the Oscars the other night is because the people involved in putting on the broadcast were too fixated on making fun of you and not paying enough attention to doing their jobs
That's
correctly.
That's right. Too much political... Too many political people.
Right.
Not enough attention to the production. Sad. Unbelievable.
But,
losers. Kimmel.
But that was just a guy who handed another guy a wrong envelope. It didn't have anything to do with politics. It's just
so
human
busy
error.
They were focusing on me and being fake with their news.
Right.
That they lost track of the envelope and where it was supposed to be. If I had been running that That never would have happened, okay? We would have gotten the right envelope, and we would have declared war on the Emmys if I ran the Oscars. That's what would have happened. And other things as well, some people are saying. I've been thinking too much.
Good one. Good one, Chip.
That was perfect.
That was right on.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
We're getting ready to give away some tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing the Staples Center, and you qualify for that grand prize to see them in Rio. But here's a hint of what the game is going to be. Roll that moment with, would you?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's...
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Yes, right. I was.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So it's time for baby songs, and that's what we're going to be doing for Chili Peppers tickets here. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. You'll be on hold for a couple minutes, then we'll play the game right after the top of the hour. First, though, Tuesday morning, 6:52, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Wow.
No!
Yes, please! Oh.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's...
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Yes, right. I was.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right.
Thanks for buying me a little time there, Chip. This baby song... This is like baby songs. Did you think something would change between the first time and second time you said it?
It's cute when you ask me how my brain works. I don't know. Right?
Well, there's some baby songs now. Like baby songs. No, something like baby songs.
Maybe it just didn't sound right to me. So
well, it doesn't sound right to anyone.
Just give it another run. Try to say it again.
Stop trying to make baby songs a thing, Kevin. Oh, man.
I don't know.
Woo!
Right?
Right?
Right. Mm. Right. Right?
Hey, boys and girls, children of all ages, want to let you know that Hollywood Babylon is returning this week.
No.
We've been off for a little bit, but Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage again at our regular Friday night time slot at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I, you know Kevin Smith, writer, director, rock on tour. We're going to take the stage and do what we do. We have a pretty good time there at 10 p.m. on Friday night at the Improv.
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
Love to have you come join us. You can go to improv.com to get more details and to get your tickets for this week's show. It's the only one. In March, maybe March 31st, at the end of the month, we're doing another one. But they're going to be few and far between the next couple of months because Kevin Smith is a busy, busy man. But love to have you come join us. Speaking of friends of the show, Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Right.
Finally, someone is putting the blame for what happened with the Best Picture Oscar where it belongs squarely on Jimmy Kimmel's shoulders.
What?
Yep.
He had nothing to do with it.
That's not everyone's attitude.
He was in no way involved in guy handing envelope to other guy.
Not what everyone thinks, Bean. Some people have a different perspective.
At about 7:30 this morning, we're going to play audio from Kimmel last night explaining what happened. But what do you have?
Matt Damon did an interview where he said it was Jimmy Kimmel's fault. Jimmy, he said he was the only one who wasn't surprised that it got all screwed up. That's what they get for hiring Jimmy, you know? They got what they paid for, said Matt Damon. And so he was firmly in the camp that it was all Jimmy's fault.
Nice job, dumbass.
Nice job, dumbass. Dancing with the Stars cast is going to be announced this tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning on Good Morning America. We'll find out who will be dancing for the coveted Mirrorball trophy.
Oh, so many A-list celebrities.
So many A-listers.
Pam Anderson?
We think we have the inside scoop on who they're going to announce tomorrow. This is a pretty reliable list of who we believe will be dancing with the pros.
And it's your Beyoncés and your George Clooney's
of course,
and all
it's
that,
A-list
all that
stars.
Crowd, right?
A-list stars. You've got Erica Girardi.
Oh, she's...
Right?
She'll
be dancing.
From that. With.
Come on, Erica Girardi.
Who is Erica Girardi?
She's one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh. All right.
Normani Cordae.
Oh, here she is terrific.
Normani Cordae.
Here she does great work.
Normani Cordae.
All right. Fill us in.
She is one of the members of Fifth Harmony.
All right.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Olympic ice skater.
Yes, from 40 years ago.
Yes.
From Pipegate. 40 years ago.
That's right.
At least that's one we've heard of.
Nick Vile.
Sure.
Nick Vile.
Nick Vile.
Yeah, that name should be familiar too.
Isn't he a previous bachelor?
He's the current bachelor.
Oh, he's the current bachelor. Okay.
God damn it.
I can't
Nick.
Get track.
Nick.
Oh, dumbass Nick.
Nick.
Is he just going to live on reality TV?
Yes, he
until
is.
Until he dies?
Goddamn right he
How
is.
How does a guy that dull, that much of a zero, keep getting on shows?
The beard.
Is it? Magical
yeah, he's
beard?
Got a magical beard. Hmm. Simone Biles, Olympic gymnast.
All right. Legitimate star.
Heather Morris.
From Glee.
Yes. Played Brittany on Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And the only real celebrity in the batch, apparently Mr. T.
Oh.
Mr. T.
That's going to be pretty
a
sweet.
A pity the fool that don't dance the tango with me. Mr. T is going to be dancing.
That's all I need.
Right?
I'm in.
That's what I'm saying. So we'll find out tomorrow if we got the list right or not, but we think we did, so... And this needs to get settled right away. Modern Family is wrapping up production on its 8th season at the end of this week, and there still isn't any deal signing the regular cast to come back for another season.
Oh.
Very rarely does this ever happen, especially on a hit TV show like this, where they get down to the wire and they haven't already locked them in for an additional season.
Have they been negotiating, do you know?
They have been.
Oh, okay.
And it's getting down to the wire, so we'll have to wait and see. No one's really guessing that we won't get another season. The show is consistently in the top 20 shows on television, but it's just a little scary for me. I don't like it.
I don't either.
I want to know that my Modern Family is going to be there. So everybody involved, get back to work and make that happen.
The writers on that show are amazing.
It's insanely brilliant.
Yeah.
And besides being funny and sharp and clever and at the same time very human and touching and warm... The intricacies of how they weave everybody's plots throughout an episode never ceases to amaze me. How they can have three storylines running at the same time and they all work beautifully in counterpoint to each other. It's really remarkable writing. And the cast is, as you know, hysterical.
Except Stone Street.
Stoney's
right?
Our man.
Oh, we like him. Okay.
We like everybody on that show. Really, to a person, there's not a bad cast member. But look, the ABC, they need to keep it around, so I'm sure they will find something, some way to negotiate a deal out. But I was surprised that it has not yet happened. So I just want to let everyone know they're on notice that I need some answers and I need some results.
And what happens
by the end of work today?
When they're on notice, what happens if you don't get that info?
They will get what's for is what's going to happen.
Okay.
You don't want to know. They don't want to know what's going to happen. I'll tell you that much. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jake Bugg. He is 23. It's not a real person. Jake Bug.
Yes.
It's not a thing. Is he a cartoon? Who is he?
He's a pop singer.
Nah.
He's a real person.
Mm-mm.
I saw him in concert, by the way, Jake Bug.
No.
Stop. Ow. Ow. Ow.
Wait.
Why does he always have to hurt
wait.
Me?
Was he opening for someone else?
Yes, he was.
Okay, because if you went to see Jake Bug by
didn't
himself.
I did go see Jake
Bug, yeah. I'm sure it was... crazy.
Who was it? Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Maybe.
Of course.
Maybe it was. The
Jake
worst.
Bug.
It's this song.
Oh, now I know him, right? Yeah. Allie Larder's 41. Cindy Wilson of the B-52s is 60, as is John Turturro. And comedian Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, I'm 62 years old, and look at me. I couldn't be more spry and youthful. I have the face of a 20-year-old. That got hit in the face with a snow shovel.
Ralph actually contorts his face into Gilbert Gottfried.
You have to do that to make that sound. That's the only way that sound can come out of a face is...
You have to squish everything up, and then what? Then you have to hunch over, and your shoulders go into your ears. I don't know.
I'm Ralph Garman.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Ralph.
Okay.
My favorite Gilbert Gottfried moment on this show, Kevin, you'll remember this, was when we were in New York City a number of years ago. We were broadcasting live at one of the MTV Video Music Award weekends.
Yep.
And Gilbert Gottfried was a guest on the show at the same time as P. Diddy.
Oh, right.
And Diddy could not handle how loud Gilbert was.
And Gilbert did not turn it down a bit.
No, he didn't.
Probably turned it up.
Yeah.
Diddy was like, God, Gilbert, please just bring it down. He was just hurrying,
what?
Holding his hands
you
over
did?
His ears.
Am I too loud for you, Puff Diddy Daddy Doe?
That's
Why?
Exactly what it was.
What is the problem? You have all the louds that you've ever heard in your songs that are rapping.
It was very uncomfortable.
All right, tickets for Red Hot Chili Peppers next.
One of the all-time great K-Rock party bands is back in town for a string of shows at Staples Center starting next Tuesday, I want to say, talking about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And we want to give you some tickets right now and also qualify you to see them in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, a city you have been to, Kevin, and recommend. Right?
Oh, I love it so much.
It's K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 Destination number 5, and we're going to do this game called Red Hot Baby Peppers.
Red Hot Baby Peppers. Guess the lullaby. See them at Staples Center. Oh, Bean, don't touch me there.
Oh, come on, Omar.
Oh, Kevin. Oh.
Right? What's happening right now? I'm not positive. We call them baby songs, not lullabies, by the way. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing. Is we're going to be playing the children's versions of Red Hot Chili Pepper songs. All you have to do is hear them and identify them by title, and you go into the drawing to win the tickets to see the band, possibly even twice. So who's our first contestant, please?
What if I were to tell you that our phones just died?
I would say that's going to make it...
All of them went dark.
That's going to make it kind of difficult.
I mean,
I guess we could wait the game.
I guess we could wait for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they come back up.
If they come back up.
These phones, by the way, I don't know what's going on at K-Rock. Well, first of all, here's the thing, people think of K-Rock as being a professional radio station because we are on the air broadcasting.
I don't think people think that.
I think they do.
Okay.
I think they think we must have it together because we're able to keep a product on the air every day. But the behind the scenes, you have no idea how janky this place is and how what a miracle it is, especially this show getting on the air every day. This happens with our phones, I don't know, at least once a week
now. Yeah, once
a
week.
They just die.
There's no sign of life anywhere. So maybe we could flip the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Jimmy Kimmel's explanation of what happened at the Oscars.
And do Jimmy here?
Yeah, do Jimmy here and then try to get the phones working again so we can do the contest for the Red Hot Chili Peppers at 7:30.
And we were so close.
Yeah, we had everybody on hold and
ready to go.
Screen and all that.
All right. Yeah, if you've got that tape ready. So our friend Jimmy did a fantastic job hosting the Academy Awards on Sunday night. Couldn't have gone better for him. Until the very end of the show, it's so unfortunate, really, that that's what people are going to remember about the 2017 Oscars.
I think it's fortunate.
Really?
Yeah, it's lucky for them. Because people are going to remember La La Land and Moonlight because of the screw-ups much more.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think.
So Jimmy, of course, was hosting. He was on stage when the whole thing went down, and he took to his own show on ABC last night to address, in his own words, the behind the scenes of what those couple of minutes were like with all that confusion on stage.
Let me tell you about it. Except for the end, it was a lot of fun. It was went very well. We were chugging along, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it turned into one of those Maury Povich paternity test shows. It was the weirdest TV finale since Lost. You know, it's a strange night when the word envelope is trending on Twitter. It's, in case you missed it, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, it was the 50th anniversary of Bonnie and Clyde. They played Bonnie and Clyde, so the Academy asked them to present Best Picture. This is the biggest award of the night. It's the last one they give out. So Warren and Faye come out with the envelope, and, well, here's where the story starts.
And the Academy Award... for Best Picture.
You're awful. Come on.
By the way, Faye Dunaway says you're awful, and come on.
Because she thinks he's just stalling for dramatic effect.
Right, but he's holding
the
wrong card.
He's looking at a card that says Best Actress, Emma Stone, so he is confused and doesn't know what to do. And in retrospect, Kevin, should he have called somebody over or gone to the side of the stage and talked to somebody and said, hey, I think I have the wrong card?
I think it's tough to judge somebody that's on the spot like that.
Yeah.
I think they have to count on what the envelope they're given.
Sure.
But so Warren hands it to her.
La La Land.
So in retrospect now, what we know is what Warren did is he was confused, so he handed it to Faye and let her read it. In other words, Clyde threw Bonnie under the bus. So Faye Dunaway announces La La Land as Best Picture, which made sense. It was the favorite to win. And the La La Land producers get up on stage, which made sense. They thought they were one. And a few of them Jordan Horowitz, Mark Platt, and Fred Berger gave speeches. And I'm now sitting in the audience watching these speeches. The plan is for me to end the show from the audience in a seat next to Matt Damon, who, I want to make no mistake about, whatever confusion there was about who won, Matt Damon lost. We're sitting there, and we notice some commotion going on, and Matt says, I think I heard the stage manager say they got the winner wrong. This is the stage manager is on. The stage manager's never on camera. It's very unusual. But so we're sitting there, and you just kind of figure, well, you know, the host will go on stage and clear this up. And then I remember, oh, I'm the host. So I guess
you can't prepare for a moment like this.
No, I can't imagine.
You just can't.
I can't imagine.
So I go, all right, well, I just walk up the stairs. And as soon as I get up there, this happens.
Yeah. Guys, I'm sorry. No. There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
Kind of scary in a way. That was the producer of La La Land who thought he won. He's standing there holding an Oscar that they're now going to take away from him. My first instinct was to tell him to run. Take that Oscar and get out, but he didn't. So now there's mass confusion. The audience is confused. The people standing around me are confused. I assume everyone at home is confused, and I'm probably supposed to do something because no one's doing anything. And then Warren Beatty steps up to explain. Warren, what did you do?
I wanted to tell you what happened.
That was my favorite moment of the night when Jimmy yelled at Warren Beatty, an 80-year-old.
I opened the envelope, and it said, Emma Stone, La La Land. That's why I took such a long look at Faye and at you. I wasn't trying to be funny.
Well, you were funny.
Thank you very much.
Wow, this is...
This is Moonlight, the Best Picture.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. So Moonlight was the Best Picture. And now so we have the producers of two movies on stage. And who the hell even knows who is who from which movie? And I'm standing there like an idiot feeling bad for these guys, but also trying really hard not to laugh, to be honest. And I see Denzel Washington in the front row trying to get my attention. He's gesturing and he's pointing. I don't know what he's pointing, but he yells, Barry. And eventually I figure out that Barry Jenkins, the director of Moonlight, is standing behind me. And Denzel wants me to get him to the microphone to make a speech, which, you know, made sense. Thank God Denzel was there to make sense. So I went and I got Barry, and he spoke, but not for very long. And then there was another quick speech, and then everyone just stood there again, kind of shell-shocked. And I ended the show. And then as I walked up stage, people started speculating. People around me said, oh, did you pull a prank of some kind? I was like, hey, no, I didn't. I did not pull a prank. This was... If I'd pulled a prank, by the way, I wouldn't have just had the wrong winner's name on the envelope. When they opened it, there would have been like a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon on the envelope. So after the show, I went back in the green room to talk to Warren Beatty because still nobody knows what happened. And he showed me the evidence. You know, when you do a show like this, you aren't just the host. You're also the lead detective. You're like the sheriff of the show. Warren Beatty could be in prison right now if I wanted him to. But the card he had said, La La Land, Emma Stone. Which was weird because Emma Stone, who won Best Actress for La La Land, at that moment was in the press room doing interviews saying this.
I also was holding my Best Actress in a Leading Role card that entire time. So whatever story, I don't mean to start stuff, but whatever story that was, I had that card.
So she said she had the card, but I was with Warren and he had the card. Well, it turns out they both had the card. For whatever reason, they have two of each card in each envelope. There's a regular envelope and a backup envelope, just to make it more confusing. So the accountants gave Warren the wrong card, and they apologized for it today. So it wasn't Warren Beatty's fault. And Faye Dunaway made quite a getaway. She got the hell out of it. She read the wrong name, or she split. She wanted no part of it.
So that's the explanation from Jimmy's point of
it
view.
It must have been just so crazy to be the host of that show and have that going down in front of you and not have any more knowledge than the rest of us that were watching the thing.
Yeah, but everyone's looking at you for an answer.
Yes. He handled it beautifully, by the way.
I agree. Yelling at Warren Beatty is always really the way to go.
And it will be one of the most memorable Oscar moments of all time, so well done. Here's a K-Rock telephone update. Don't have them.
Not gonna.
That's the update. Not clear what's going on. Still no phone. Still love to give away these Red Hot Chili Peppers, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen for the foreseeable future. But we will keep you posted on that here on the Kevin
Unless
and Bean
we
Show.
Have
I'm telling you, this place is janky. We might just have to do that.
Have to come
hey,
down
meet
to
us station. At the meet us at the bus stop in front of the radio station. First, though, we talk about a lot of things in the meetings after the show when we're discussing, hey, what would be interesting to bring to the audience. And a story came up yesterday that we had a conversation with in the office, and it's about a place called Power Plant Gym that is going to be opening in May in San Francisco. Well, what's news about that? The gym's open every day. Well, this one is a guy named Jim McAlpine. He's opening this new facility with Ricky Williams, the ex-football player, and it is a pot-centric gym. He says, Mr. McAlpine says, that using marijuana during a workout, in his words, gets you into the eye of the tiger mode. He says, don't misunderstand. This is not going to be some sort of a stoner hangout. This is going to be a premier gym. He says, using cannabis, if you use it right, it takes the things you love and lets you love them more. With fitness, it can help you get into the zone. Now, I don't know anything about smoking weed. All right. But my impression is, am I just way out of line here? My impression is the last thing you want to do when you're high is go work out.
Well, I mean,
you want to sit on your couch and watch TV and eat Doritos, right?
I think we have to go to our weed expert, Muggs.
Beer Mug is really lame. Beer Mug has no brain. That's what we used to think, but now Beer Mug is so bright. He has the answer, also a pretty good dancer, has the cure for cancer. Beer Mug, come in. You are such a whiz. It's time for Beer Mug Explains Things.
So, Muggs, does
By the way,
marijuana...
Muggs was dabbing. Just so you know during that. And I feel like dabbing is pretty much over. Am I right?
Yes, you're over.
Dabbing, I feel like it's been over for a year.
But at least except, using it the wrong way.
He was doing it poorly.
Except for the stoner community, Kevin, where it's brand new and hilarious. So, Muggs, what's this relationship between smoking weed and working out? I don't get it.
So we laughed in the meeting. We said, that's ridiculous. And Muggs spoke up and said, no, you guys are wrong.
This is real. I have had firsthand experience of how marijuana can enhance your workout experience. I've been doing interval hikes lately because I'm, you know, getting in shape for,
sure.
for my summer bod.
Sure, your summer bod's looking good.
Thank you. And, you know, I'll go out sometimes after work and I won't be motivated. And I'll start doing the hike and I'll just do it half-assed. Or, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, make sure the workout's over as quick as possible.
Wait, you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then if I smoke before I do the hike, all of a sudden I become like an NFL running back. I get
right.
in the zone.
Here's
I
the
swear
thing.
To God.
Hold up. Pump the brakes. Just so you understand, you don't become like an NFL running back.
You
maybe that's your impression of yourself.
Oh.
But you don't become that.
You should see these jump cuts I do on this run. I mean, you would think I was Ricky Williams. Anyway, long story short, marijuana, in fact, does enhance your workout. It does get you in the eye of the tiger zone. If you talk to guys who do jiu-jitsu, they'll tell you a lot of guys who do that will smoke before they roll because they get more in tune with their inner mind and focus and everything else.
So it helps block out all external activity.
It helps you get into the zone. And it really does. This is like I see why they're opening this gym up, because it really works.
So the one thing I know about people I'm around that are high is they are incredibly focused.
Look, there are two different strains of marijuana. I mean, you have your sativa, which is your daytime, your upper weed, and then your indica, which is your nighttime couch watch a movie weed.
Well, maybe the reason I doubted it is because I get sleepy.
Yeah. See, I mean, indica, it will put you to sleep. Sativa is more like the daytime creative, gives you energy. So I mean, for me, I've been partaking in marijuana since I was in high school, so it doesn't really matter what I smoke. As long as it's weed and I'll go work out, it's amazing.
All right, let me ask you another follow-up question. You're a horrible employee.
How dare you?
Why don't you smoke before you come to work every day?
Well, see,
then you would get like three times the stuff done.
Well, see,
focused mugs at work.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's holding out on us, Bean. He has a way of focusing, and he's not doing it.
He's saving it for his workout.
Right.
I think tasks that come along with this environment are different than working out. I mean, coming into work stoned is not the best for me, I don't think. A, because it drags the day out a little bit longer, but...
For exercise, it works differently.
For exercising, because once you get going, once that runner's high gets going, your endorphins. I think the marijuana and the endorphins they complement each other very well, and they do get you in the zone. I've done it. I mean, I know what these guys are talking about.
So let me ask you this, and this is a serious question, Muggs. You mentioned Ricky Williams, who's part of this power plant gym in San Francisco that's opening. The reason he got kicked out of, essentially, didn't he, Chip, from the Dolphins? Because he kept failing drug tests,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he decided to stop playing football. He wanted to smoke weed.
He said,
because
he
wanted to smoke weed so much.
I like weed, and I don't like the NFL so much anymore, so I'm just going to stop.
So it sounds like what you're saying is he was using marijuana not just because he was a filthy stoner, but because he felt it helped him as an athlete. So that must have been a real hard thing for him to deal with, was losing his job because of something that he looked at it as, I'm increasing my performance.
I mean, they've said there was a whole HBO Real Sports documentary about how weed helps CTE and all the concussions that come along with football. But I also think that weed can be a performance-enhancing drug. It can make you focus.
Well, I will say that this article in Outside Magazine, which is where we learned about this gym, they do say that there are scientists who suggest that marijuana can raise a person's threshold for pain, which is something that would be very useful for you if you're working out or playing
football. Science.
And also be used to reduce inflammation.
It's science.
So maybe this is kind of turning our impression of pot and exercise on its head a little bit. And I hate to say that I just learned a little something from Beer Mug, but I think I did.
That's what I do.
I mean, let's not go there, Bean. Take that back.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Beer Mug explains things.
Tuesdays are great because the Bachelor Report happens just after 8 o'clock. I think we have figured out a way with amazing technology to get Petros on the air without telephones.
Yep,
coming up just after 8 o'clock.
Two cans and a long piece of string.
Because our phones are out. Still no telephones here
right.
At K-Rock. Yeah. But somehow Ralph and P press on and recap last night's exceptional Bachelor. That's coming up just after 8. First, though. Maybe you guys saw this in the news yesterday. Elon Musk, who is one of the is he one of the richest people in the world? I feel like he must be with all the stuff that he owns.
I think he is.
I would
sure.
Think
so.
He's doing all right. Yeah, he's the Tesla guy, and he's the SpaceX guy.
Obviously,
thank you. He did a press conference yesterday where he announced, to the surprise of many, that two private individuals have approached the company SpaceX to see if they would be willing to send them on a week-long cruise, which would fly past the surface of the moon. How rich do you have to be to have the idea of, you know what, I'm going to go to SpaceX and see if they'll send me into space?
Yeah, they must be people with just no money thoughts at all.
Unlimited thoughts,
yeah.
Right.
And they have to be tremendous dumbasses. So you have to need that combination. You need all the money and none of the sense.
All right, I want to hear why you're blaspheming these people, but let me finish with the story. So they fly past the surface of the moon. They do not land, but they will continue outward before gravity turns the spacecraft around and brings it back to Earth for a landing. They do a long loop around the moon, which means they get into deep space, okay? The two people will spend about a week inside one of SpaceX's Dragon 2 capsule, launched on SpaceX's Falcon Heavy rocket. The spacecraft would be automated, but the travelers would undergo training for emergencies. Mr. Musk did not say how much they will pay for the ride, but it's a little bit more than the cost of a crewed mission to the space station, he said. So, if this is a
I like that he's using the word crewed mission in there. Like
stinky missions to the stupid space station.
He's looking down his nose at that.
No. Crewed meaning a crew, meaning spacemen, passengers.
C-R-E-W-E-D.
That's my bad.
Yeah,
no, that's understandable. Okay. They're homonyms.
So anyway, so now we live in an age where
they're homophones,
where private companies can send people who are wealthy enough to want to go into space. And I think if this is successful, and by the way, this is going to be next year. This isn't like, hey, we're talking about wouldn't this be cool if we could do this in 30 years. This is next year this is supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. If we're at that point, Ralph, don't you think hundreds of people are going to line up for the opportunity to be in space?
I think there's a tremendous number of dumbasses in the world, so I think it's possible. There
Why
be
are you a dumbass if you want to go to space?
Bean, would you be one of the people in line?
I would fight to be first in that line. Are you kidding me?
First, I want to watch that fight. Second of all, you're a
Bean's
dumbass.
Ground game is just untouchable.
That's true.
Why would you not want to go into space?
Listen, ass, I've got a friend of mine who owns a Tesla, okay? And she's had that car in the shop about six times since she's owned it. And that's a car that only has to get her from her house to Beverly Hills.
Right.
That's breaking down.
Right.
The Tesla car. You know what happens if the Tesla car breaks down? You pull to the side of the road. You call AAA. You know what happens when your ass is in space and you blow a gasket? You freeze to death and you die. A horrible gasping death with no oxygen.
Or you Apollo 13 it up and come back a hero.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you're going to make an air scrubber out of a sock and some duct tape, if you have that skill, then you feel free to go into space.
You're going to Apollo 13 it up, he said.
Yes, you are.
I can't find an airline and get my luggage from here to New York City safely. But these guys are going to fly people into space, and it's all going to be sunlight and rose drops.
And I just want to clarify.
And rose drops, by the way, are delicious if you've never had them.
Gravity turns the ship around. Yeah. That was part I wrote down where I was like, that makes me uncomfortable, because what if when that doesn't happen?
Well, gravity's a constant, Kevin. It'll happen.
But yeah, what if it doesn't turn the ship around?
It's a slingshot. Right.
But what if you keep going? There's a lot of what ifs.
Gravity. No.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Of all the what ifs, gravity is not one of them.
Right.
Gravity is the one sure thing in this whole equation.
Could you get stuck in gravity, though, is what I'm asking.
Could you get stuck in
yes,
gravity
around the moon?
What does that even mean? What does that mean?
So I'm saying gravity turns the ship around scares me. Because
of all the things that scare you, it's the gravity part that you're concerned with.
Kevin, we figured that out almost 50 years ago with spaceflight. We're fine with that. We know how to send people around the moon and back.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
No, you're not.
To right, Ralph's but point,
a,
though.
I'm
Ralph's
a worst-case scenario guy, though. And worst-case scenario, this is a disaster. And
you're going to say you think it's too dangerous. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Look, SpaceX.
It's not for amateurs, man.
SpaceX had two spacecraft, Ralph, blow up on the launch pad. In
good
six
you,
months,
good
as you know.
You and good night.
But let's assume for a minute that it's checked and it's double checked and it's going to work.
Do you think those two that blew up weren't checked and double checked?
Look, I'm just saying it's not a perfect science, granted.
But that's why Ralph and I don't want to go.
Plenty to do here right on this here planet. Got lots to do.
How many Americans have died in space since the space age began?
I don't know.
Too goddamn many.
None?
Oh, the Challenger crew doesn't count?
I'm talking about... Okay, the Challenger crew doesn't count.
Oh, my God! You forgot about the Challenger crew!
And Columbia, too, I guess.
That's blowed up!
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Didn't they have a citizen on that one? Like, not an astronaut?
Yeah, the teacher, yeah.
Yeah, right. Christine McAuliffe.
And right. Who would survive in space?
How many people, though, really, have ever?
And then Apollo 1 blew up on the launch pad, if I remember correctly.
Bean. Let's talk about Bean in space.
And Apollo 13, those guys almost died.
Almost died.
So it's a really risky proposition.
Most people make it, though. Most people survive.
And you're good with that.
I'm fine with that because the upside is so incredible. The fact that you get to look out your window and see the Earth. The fact that you get to see the dark side of the moon. The fact that you – I mean, I think that would just – you'd believe in God after a trip like that. I think that would just change your life forever.
Yeah, to be you'd able be to dead.
Yeah, you'd believe in God because you'd be talking to him. You'd be hanging out in the cafeteria.
It would change your life in that you would have it no longer. All right, look. We wanted to give you tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers when they play Staples Center. That was our plan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We had a plan, we had a game, and we had everything ready to go.
Yes.
Right.
And we had contestants on hold. Yeah, and then the phone company said, no, no.
Right.
You are not going to do anything, and the phones went dead, and they're still dead.
So we're just going to hang on to those tickets and give them away when we can, I guess.
Or we'll just go. Go see the show ourselves. We'll burn them. What the hell?
Bachelor Report coming up just after the next hour. What is it? 8 o'clock?
Just after
just after
the next hour?
After the top of the hour.
After the top of the hour.
Right. Am I waiting 5 minutes or am I waiting an hour and five
yes,
minutes?
About 5 minutes.
All right.
With Ralph and P, looking forward to that. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
By the way, Space Cadet. By the way, Space Traveler, Mr.
Yeah.
Astronaut.
Go ahead.
We have a final tally. We have a total, thanks to one of our listeners. 22 people have died in space flight. 22
all right, but,
people.
But how many of them are Americans?
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, Russia...
How
aren't
we
that,
all people
because
in
the
space?
Russia, yeah, but the Russian system is janky. You know that.
So you think it's much safer for Americans because our systems are better?
I do. I think we've lost a lot fewer people in space than they have, I think. I don't have the facts to back that up. I don't really have any knowledge on this topic at all.
Bean is willing to risk his life based on very little information.
And he's usually such a pussy in most all other areas.
Correct.
But this one thing, he's just throwing caution to the wind. Just shoot me. Just get a catapult.
I don't know.
And get me an oxygen mask and just shoot me as far as you can.
I feel like Bean's just trying to end it.
But like so many people, though.
He sees this as a good way.
But like so many people, I have grown up in awe of the space program and in love with
right,
NASA. And
sure.
I read the books and see the stories and the documentaries, and it just looks amazing.
Right. Bean
like
just wants
not
to go.
For you.
Bean just wants to go to the Magic Castle. That's all. That's
yeah,
what Bean's trying
this
to
is,
do.
This is like Ta-da. You always. This is like you always heard about and wanted to go on a safari in Africa.
Yes,
it's just
but
one
no,
of those green
you know,
things.
You know what they have in Africa? Oxygen.
Right,
yeah.
I
earth.
Know.
And earth.
There's earth
and
beneath
walk
you.
On.
Look, I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying there's no risk involved. I'm just saying I think it would be worth it.
Look, we're in favor of you going as well.
All right.
Okay, good.
A lot of people are suggesting we start some crowdfunding in order to get the money together to put Bean in space. And I gotta say, it's sorely tempting.
What if he came back like a baller? Bean in space now, he's a hero.
It's
imagine
be,
he's going to have a cape.
What?
I don't know.
Have
He'll
a
have
cape.
Special powers that he got into space. I don't know. What if it all happened? I'm just saying.
Is he, remember one of the Fantastic Four? Is that what you think?
He's going to come back and he can stretch. On the dark side of the moon. You don't know what's there. Maybe he gets
they
the
do.
Power
They've
to
been
fly.
There. They know what's there.
They were there and there.
Buzz Aldrin didn't come back with powers. Except super creepy. Bean's already got that power.
That's true. He already has that power down.
Yeah. Just saying, it's a bad idea.
All right.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage again at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
With our little show, Hollywood Babylon.
No.
People really seem to have a good time when they come out, and I think you will too. Why don't you come join us? Go to improv.com to get your tickets and to get...
Quiet, more, quiet, quiet.
Get more information about the show. Lord!
New music?
Is going to release some new music next month. How
All
about
right.
that? It's been a while.
I think it's it is next month, but I think it is Friday.
Oh, awesome. That's good news.
Yeah.
A short TV ad ran in her home country of New Zealand over the weekend, which was her sitting in the back of the car eating fries and drinking a shake. And it was just a bit of music underneath it, and suddenly the graphic cut to 3217 NYC. I guess that is significant is because she'll be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live on March 11th.
Okay.
And the second's a week before that, so I guess she's going to release her music the week before she does that.
She's making us work for that one, isn't she?
3217 NYC. She hasn't released a new album since 2013. I can't believe it's been that long since we had no music from her. And speaking of female artists, do you remember Natalie Merchant?
Sure.
Remember 10,000 Maniacs?
Yeah, sure, I do remember.
How white hot was that band in the 80s?
They're very popular.
They were everywhere.
Yep.
For those of you who don't remember, here's a little taste of the 10,000 Maniacs. Shiver in my bones just thinking about the weather. A quiver in my voice as I cry. She was cool. She had a very unique sound.
I liked Natalie a lot.
She left that band and then had a little solo career, and she's doing a big tour this summer to called Three Decades of Songs. Which is the music, as you can imagine, from the past three decades of her career. Tour begins in June in Poughkeepsie, New York, and wraps up in Portland, Oregon later this summer. And she's going to be stopping by Southern California, too. You can find the dates on her website. But I just I hadn't really thought about her in a long time. And I saw this announcement for her tour, and I was like, wow, that music was really cool.
Pretty little face.
Yeah, she did have a little pretty little face, too.
Thank you, Rodney.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jake Bugg is 23. I'm just going to stop saying this
yeah,
name.
Dude.
It's ridiculous. Jake Bugg. Stephen Roach. Bobby Spider. What the hell? Allie Larder is 41 years old today. Larder, rather. Cindy Wilson. I'm having a hard time with names. From B-52.
You're kevening it up.
Is 60. Well, the baby songs. I like baby songs. Like some of
the. We didn't get
songs.
To play the baby songs, though.
John Turturro is 60. And Gilbert Gottfried is 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, this is about the time and the day of the week where we do the Bachelor Report with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis. Let's check and make sure we got the P on the janky new phone system. P, are you there?
Hey, what's popping with y'all?
Hey, this is kind of working, you guys.
Right. Hey, P, you don't have to yell.
What?
It's time. We got the big P and Gar, man, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah. Girls crying, hallelujah. Girls crazy, hallelujah. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
So, Ralph Garman, how was it last night?
It was a rare one-hour Bachelor last night.
The best kind!
What? The best kind, because why?
It was an hour.
Because you didn't have to spend 2 hours watching.
No, I'm so grateful. Hashtag when we rise.
No, I was. I felt cheated and shorted, and I was left wanting more. And it was an incomplete experience for me last night, largely because a lot of the episode was spent with the shocking return of Andy, Nick's old girlfriend from The Bachelorette, and
so dumb.
It was the girl that broke his heart those many seasons ago, and there she was back. On his doorstep at his hotel room, and she enters in with obviously something major going on. This is going to be a bomb that was dropped right in the middle of this whole journey for Nick. And it turned out to be, just wanted to come by and say hi.
That's it?
That was it.
So they just used her for the tease for the end of that one
episode. Complete cliffhanger tease for that.
So stupid. Nothing happened. And they did discuss Nick calling her out, though. They did get into some sexual stuff. Because remember, Nick is the guy that called Andy out and was like on the After the Final Rose episode, Ralph.
Yes. He said, if you knew you didn't love me, why did we make love? He said on live television.
Why did you make love to me?
To her face in front of everyone. Everyone.
Because she said, that's a bit below the belt.
It's always been an understood kind of thing that some of the couples have sex in the fantasy suites on the show, but it's never really explicitly identified whether they do or don't.
Right.
So that was sort of a, he crossed the line of bachelor decorum in that moment. And it's been something that's been haunting him ever since. But we'll get more into that in a moment. Meanwhile, the rose ceremony came up. There were four girls he went on the hometown dates with. One had to go. Everyone was very tense, very upset, including Vanessa. She was crying last night.
Going into tonight's rose ceremony, the nerves that I'm feeling come from not knowing how the other hometowns went. Did the other hometowns shift something in his relationship with the other women?
I'm afraid of actually knowing what he feels for these other women. Just don't feel special.
She doesn't feel special with the guy who's dating three other women at the same time as her. She wants to feel more special.
It is a tough premise for these people that have no idea that there's others involved.
Not for Corinne. Corinne doesn't think it's tough because she knows in her heart of hearts that everything is magical between her and Nick.
Sure.
He knows her the way no one else has ever known her.
Mm.
He held her boobs.
Tonight's rose is the most important rose because I made myself very vulnerable to Nick. And he met my entire family, and he knows me almost to the core now.
He knows her to her core.
Don't you remember he held her boobs?
That's right. I think he may have spent some time near her core at some some point during their dating process. I'm not quite sure if he knows her complete core yet. But she seems very confident. And of course, Rachel also, we won't spend a lot of time on her because we know she's the Bachelorette. So we know she's going to be bouncing back sometime soon. But
did you know that she was black?
I was aware of that. Yeah, they covered that last week to an extensive.
And Nick is white.
Level.
They mentioned that 1,000 times.
They did pretty much establish the difference.
I'm telling you, I'm out next season if that's all it is.
Meanwhile, we did talk about Andy and how furious she was at Nick when he would dare to ask her if she admit rather that they had sex on national television, and she's sitting there in Nick's hotel room with the cameras rolling, and then she asks Nick this.
Okay, so fantasy suites, you're finally going to be alone with them all. Let me ask you this. Are you going to have sex with any of them then?
I don't know.
Hey.
I'm honestly torn.
You're not allowed to ask that question when you're the one that got all chap-assed because they told them about you?
That's a bit below the belt.
I thought so.
Literally, right?
Right.
Because that's what you have sex with.
Yeah, that's where the regions are.
We understand how it works.
The area that your bathing suit covers.
Right. Understood.
Then it's time to send one of the girls home, and there's poor Corinne. All dressed up like she's going to the AVN Awards. She really had a dress that had two slits on both sides up to her waist, and the center was sort of cut out, and it was low and dropping to show her boobs, and she had like a short fur jacket on. I said, oh my God, she looks so much like a whore. But there she was, and sadly, she did not get a rose from Nick. Corinne's journey had come to an end. And being the damaged child that she is, she took it on her own shoulders as somehow she was responsible for the fact that she was being sent home. And she had a breakdown immediately.
I'm sorry if I ever did anything to make you upset.
You never did. Listen, you didn't do anything wrong. Ever.
I just don't like you, he said as he sent her home. But he was the one who sent her home. She's like, I'm sorry. What am she sorry about?
Well, she flipped the script pretty quickly and turned it evil. It got down to her core that we've been discussing.
Yes.
And she just, the crying went away, and she just became the spoiled Greek brat that she is from Miami.
Once she got into the limo, she did have a more aggressive tone when she was talking about what her future plans are, using the word like a lot.
Sure.
I feel like my heart is, like, literally, like, it's never going to be repaired. I just want to feel loved the way it's supposed to be, like, the normal way. Like, why can't I just have a normal relationship?
Because you're on a game show!
And you're awful!
That's put that, too, but...
All right, wait a minute, though. I have a question for all of you guys that watched it. Didn't you get the idea that she was just playing the game and that there was no part of her that wanted to, quote, fall in love? She just wanted to have sex and show her boobs and win the game.
And be on TV for the rest of her life for the next 5 years and go on the BIP and fulfill her destiny that our friend Adam Rank tweeted out of dating Chad.
Yeah, she's been seen with Chad.
That's going to be her life.
Yeah. Oh, dear Lord.
Look, this is what these people do.
I don't get the sense from her that there's ever a real connection with anyone else other than her.
Yeah.
For her. I think she's all about her. She just wanted to win because she thinks that she is number one, and she wanted to prove that she was better than the other women just by winning this event. But there was no real emotional connection on any
level.
But
she had a beautiful behind.
She did. She had a nice pooper on her, and
that's so sexy.
And I think as she cried, I said the only person crying more than her right now, the producers of the show, because there's the drama for this season, walking away, getting into that limo. So they
she was your
they don't need it anymore. It's just boring, sappy crap from here
boring,
on out.
Boring? How dare you, sir? When Raven, on her date with Nick, as they had to face the crossroads of do we go to the fantasy suite together or not, had to admit to Nick, not only did her other previous boyfriend only admit he loved her when he was drunk, and she never said she loved him back because she felt that it was not reciprocated. But their special sex times together, their special intimate times.
Oh, this is good.
Well, she's not sure whether they're going to sleep together in the fantasy suite or not because of these two reasons.
I need to remind you of two things.
Okay.
One, I've only been with one person.
Okay.
And I just want you that in your mind.
I keep that in mind. I've kept that in mind.
The second thing is that my last boyfriend, my ex, who I was intimate with, never made me orgasm. Lost for words?
Yes, lost for words. You don't need that kind of pressure. You don't need that kind of pressure in a fantasy suite.
Who put her up to that?
She wanted to be forthcoming, P.
Forthcoming? You don't have to say that on camera. Wait till you get in the suite and the door's closed and you can tell him whatever you want. And how about some active participation? Who was this guy she used to date? Frankenstein?
he was a bad lover, P. I think that was her point.
Just flopped over and... drunk, and that's the only time he said, I love you. Is that how they do it in the South?
That's Hoxie, Arkansas. That's a relationship in Hoxie.
I should move there.
You should. You'd be the king.
Not everyone is a generous lover like you, Pete.
You'd be the Casanova of Hoxie.
Yeah, I would. I am a very romantic man. When I see a fart locker like the
right.
one we saw in
right.
Marin.
All right, so there's three women left. How many episodes?
Well, we have a three-hour special next week.
Okay.
Where we get 2 hours of Sweet, Sweet Bachelor, then an hour of The Women Tell All.
Oh, The Women Tell All is good, Ralph.
And wait, so they tell you who the Bachelor is?
No.
No. Then we have the following week.
Wow.
On the 13th of March, we have the finale where we finally find who Nick chooses to spend the rest of his life with as he whittles it down to just two wonderful women.
The rest of his life just prior to breaking up with her after a week.
And
it's a couple months usually, and then we have After the Final Rose.
Yes, after that finale show, we'll have After the Final Rose. And special announcement I can say now, I'm really looking forward to it, but on Monday, March 13th, before the finale and the final rose, we'll have special guest Chris B. Harrison will be here in the studio to talk about this season of The Bachelor.
I'm sorry.
And the amazing journey that
it sounds
been.
Like you're
sell out.
It sounds like you're cheering.
Oh, yeah, sell out with me tonight. Chris Harrison's gonna put me on The Bachelor, and everything's gonna be all right.
So P's in, and we're all in. That'll be coming up on the 13th, and that's great. All right, great to recap, boys. Thank you, P. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
By the way, I'm very excited about some of the guests we have on this week's program. Our old friend Jimmy Pardo is going to be here tomorrow. I think on Thursday, we're going to have the world premiere of Dream Car's first single.
Now, it's about time Davey Havoc did something here, huh?
Well, he was actually here yesterday, Kevin, with his other band, AFI, in the HD Radio Sound Space, and I heard that was fantastic.
It was great, yeah.
But anyway, as you know, he is stepping in for Gwen and the rest of the dudes in No Doubt for a new band, a supergroup called Dream Car, and I have no idea what their music is going to sound like, but we're going to world premiere it for you Thursday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We love Davey. It's always great to see him, and we love the guys in No Doubt. So I'm very excited. Looking forward to that.
The news is doing a lot of stories on this bank robbery in North Hollywood today because it's the 20-year anniversary of it.
And how about that, by the way? The 90s were crazy. A lot of crazy stuff happened in the 90s, particularly in Southern California. And I always think about that when the anniversary of the Northridge Crate came and went, the anniversary of the O.J. Slow Speed Chase came and went. And this is another one. If you lived here in the 90s, you have to remember this because it was one of the craziest things. It was one of those times where you turned on your TV and you couldn't not watch it. It was riveting. And you felt like it had to be a movie. It couldn't be real.
They had homemade body armor. And the police were shooting at them, and the bullets would just bounce off of them. They weren't hiding. They were just standing out, and they had bullets bouncing off of them, and they had stronger weapons than the police, which was armor-piercing, that weaponry. That's what stood out to me, is how are the police outgunned in this situation?
Yes. Yeah, and I think we'll talk about so many things changed as a result of that North Hollywood Bank shootout. It was a Bank of America, if I remember correctly. Two guys tried to rob the bank and didn't get away, but tried to get away with $350,000. And a lot of things changed that day when the police started to realize how much was available for civilians to purchase and how under-weaponed they were and under-armored they were, both in their cars and in the vests that they wore and everything else. I mean, this really was a wake-up call to LAPD that there are a lot of bad people with a lot of good equipment out there.
They had to go to a gun store, a local gun store, and buy better weapons while it was going on.
The police did.
Yes. So they're in the middle of a standoff first and then shooting back and forth. And somebody has to make a run to a store to get better guns.
February 28th, 1997, 20 years ago today, the North Hollywood Bank of America heist. Muggs, it sounds like you remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny. I was in junior high at the time, and I remember I was in PE, and my PE coach came up to all of us. We were playing basketball. He's like, hey, you guys, there's this crazy shootout going on right now in North Hollywood, a bank robbery. So we all stopped what we were doing, and we went into our auditorium, and we watched it on the news. It was the most insane thing I've ever seen. It was like real life. The movie Heat had come out like a year before. Mm-hmm. It was like we were watching a real-life Heat going on.
It was a 44-minute-long standoff with thousands of rounds of ammunition being fired. And help me out. Did anyone die besides the bank robbers?
Nobody died.
I don't think so.
Nobody died. A lot. 18 people were wounded.
Remember they shot the police officer and then they had to bring a car in to take them out?
Yeah, there was a lot of wounded wounded LAPD. A lady walking her dog got hit around the bank at that time. But yeah, nobody died, thankfully.
Except for the
bank robbers.
Except for the bank robbers. Here's Channel 4.
The first alarm went off just after 9 o'clock. Inside, they sprayed the bank with gunfire and demanded the large bill. On the way out, they see police cars and open fire. One officer is hit. You can see the river of blood as three other officers risk their lives to save one man. The wounded officer's feet are hanging out of the back seat. No time to even shut the door.
Chuck Henry sounds a little too excited in this report.
He really is enjoying himself.
Like he's really bringing the heat. What's with all the excitement?
As the car now races to back up, you can see the wounded officer raise his head slightly through the rear window. He will survive. At the same time, one suspect now approaches the white getaway car and opens fire again.
Trying to get him now as he's trying to exit this area.
Their automatic AK-47s firing armored piercing bullets are no match for the officers with only sidearms. One bullet could go right through a bulletproof vest at 200 yards.
That's crazy. Right through a bulletproof vest at 200 yards.
It's insane. Yeah, that really, really is something.
Back to the very excited Chuck.
Even though the front tires are now blown out, one of the gunmen uses the white getaway car as a shield. Again, he sprays the area with gunfire as he walks into a neighborhood with his accomplice following in the car. The gunman on foot now has less than 3 minutes to live. One officer is seen running across the street as the gunman again opens fire.
Remember when he was just standing there? He was just standing on the sidewalk, not hiding behind anything, just shooting.
I guess that's a lot of confidence in your armor, I guess.
Crazy.
Then a direct headshot. Officers run in and confirm he's dead. The second suspect in the car has now driven about two blocks, rammed several other vehicles, and fired at the driver of an old pickup truck. He plans to use it as a getaway vehicle, and he opens fire again. Realizing his situation is hopeless and already wounded, the gunman throws down his rifle and surrenders.
Well, you can see. I mean, this guy was ready for bear here. He was armor vest and ski masks and automatic weapons. They weren't here to play around whatsoever.
He's rolled over and handcuffed. He'll never turn face up again. The suspect bleeds to death on a street that leads nowhere.
Wow.
It was crazy. Those guys had over 2,000 rounds on them in their trunk. And they said also that they took, like, muscle relaxers before they did the robbery.
Just to keep their nerves
down? Keep their nerves down. And that's how they said, like, because eventually their armor wasn't holding up anymore. And the last guy they got, they said that he had 26 bullet wounds before he died.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's not enough. It's not enough. Yeah.
Chuck mentioned that one of those gunmen was loaded for bear. Was there, in fact, also a bear on the scene?
No, there was not. That was Gilligan.
Just would have terminology.
Made it so confusing,
It's not.
106.7 K-Rock. K-O-Q. Dedicate that to Jimmy Kimmel. He did such a great job on the Oscars. Mm. Oh. I love it when he mixes, like, celebrities.
Right.
With normal people and stuff. That's pretty cool.
You know, like normal people.
Jimmy Kimmel did great.
Not like celebrities.
Anyway, I got more music and things to play coming up.
Thanks. Music
right
and things.
The Monkees. Here they are.
Really? More Monkees?
We don't have time for the Monkees. I'm sorry, Rodney. But
let's play some Monkees. Come on. Let's do it.
Let's not.
Here we go.
When you put celebrities who aren't normal people together with normal people, that's always fun, right?
Celebrities are better than normal people.
I think that's Rodney's way of talking about the Starline tour that he brought.
I think so, too.
I think.
Star Tours?
I did call it Star Tours.
Star Tours came through, C-3PO, and they had baby songs.
It's
can we play the baby song?
No, we already did that.
But still, I need a little pick-me-up. I need a little shot of humor and levity and something to just make me very happy. If we could just play a little.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's...
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was. Okay. Yes, right. I was.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well said, Kevin.
That was fun.
Baby songs.
Hey, what's up with Florida, you guys? Coming up next, first, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning. What's happening?
If you're listening to the program earlier this morning, you heard Bean talk about how he's really sad that he doesn't know exactly when he's going to die. He would do so much with that information.
He would want to know the future, yes.
Yeah. Listener Edwin, regular contributor to the program, has written in. And he said, Bean's obsession with knowing the exact time of his death is annoying us all. If we hire a hitman to rub him out in a month, then Bean will know exactly the day he will die and everyone wins.
That's just hurtful, Edwin.
He's figured out a way that everyone's happy.
But Bean, you would know that what you've always wanted to know is the day that you're going to die. You will know exactly when you're going to die.
Yes, I do, but
then
I,
you get it, what you want.
Then you but get I, what you want and you're happy.
Right.
But I don't want to die in a month.
A year. We'll do a year.
No, give me 50 years. I want 50 years.
No one's giving
you 50
years.
That's going to be ridiculous.
God himself isn't giving you 50
years. Let's be honest. You have a year or two at best.
Right.
How dare you?
So we'll cut it in half. We'll say a year.
Edwin also adds, P.S., if we really want to torture him, let that day go by without killing him. And when he hasn't died, he'll have an Asperger's attack of monumental proportions. It's funny because it's true. All right. Friday night, 10 p.m., it is the return of the much-beloved Hollywood Babylon!
No!
It's me and Kevin Smith taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose. We have a pretty good time. We do. We have a pretty good time. And so do the folks who come out and enjoy it. Please join us, won't you? Friday, 10 p.m., you can go to improv.com, click on Hollywood to get more details and get your tickets.
In my opinion, incorrect.
Star Trek Discovery, the new Star Trek TV series. More info about that debut has come to light. The show will start sometime in the late summer or early fall.
Cool.
On CBS's new all-access streaming site. In case you missed it, you'll need to pony up $5.99 a month to get all-access streamed to the digital device of your choice.
CBS cares.
Or $9.95 if you don't want to watch commercials. Service will also feature The Good Fight, Blue Bloods, Madam Secretary, Odd Couple, Big Brother, NFL games, and 8,500 episodes of past CBS television shows. So I'm getting it. I want to watch that Star Trek thing. So,
I do too. Most other networks, though, they just give it all to Hulu, right? They just have, but CBS decided to strike out on their own and just do their own separate thing.
Yeah, show them. You don't need those.
I know how that'll work.
Hulu bitches.
Refresh my memory, Ralph. Have they made any announcements as to casting in the new Star Trek?
Oh, they've cast it completely. But it's mostly names you would not recognize.
Okay.
Except for Doug Jones. You know Doug Jones? Tall, lanky actor. Has done a lot of science fiction, like Hellboy. And
I'm sure I would recognize him.
Yeah, I'm sure you would, too. He is apparently in it.
Do we know where the new Star Trek fits into the other Star Treks?
I believe it is pre-Kirk, pre-Spock.
Oh, okay.
But around that same era. Because, for example, Sarek, Spock's father, is a character on the show.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
A younger version of Spock's father. So we're talking on just a little bit before the original series takes place.
I like it.
Speaking of space, SpaceX announced yesterday that they plan to send two private citizens into space around the moon. This is Elon Musk's company. He announced it yesterday afternoon. It's a private mission for two paying customers who are not astronauts. They're just regular people. And they've already paid a significant deposit to Elon and his company to make it happen. So they're going to take a one-week trip into space and then come back as frozen corpses. So that's something they got going for them, which I think is nice. It's very exciting. We were talking about that story earlier also, and Kevin seemed to think the riskiest proposition, the questionable part of the whole procedure was gravity. Gravity might surprise you at some point during this trip. That might be a problem.
Well, it's very fluid. That's one thing we know about gravity.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
gravity turns the ship around.
Yeah. That was part I wrote down where I was like, that makes me uncomfortable because what if when that doesn't happen?
Well, gravity's a constant, Kevin. It'll happen.
But yeah, what if it doesn't turn the ship around?
It's a slingshot. Right.
But what if you keep going?
Well,
there's a lot of
what ifs.
No. That's why I'm not doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Of all the what ifs, gravity is not one of them.
Right.
Gravity is the one sure thing in this whole equation.
Could you get stuck in gravity, though, is what I'm asking.
Could you get stuck in gravity
around the moon?
Even mean.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
See? What if Elon Musk has somebody like Kevin working for him, and then you're just going to get one of their spaceships and go flying? No, sir. Too many risks.
I meant,
Kevin,
orbit.
You meant orbit?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to.
Oh, what if you got stuck in orbit around the moon? Is that what you were saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that went well.
Well, the gravitational pull of Earth is much stronger than the moon.
All right, well.
Really not very dangerous.
You could have answered that easily had I said it.
Had I know what you were talking about.
Had I said it correctly.
What if you get stuck in gravity? And all they're playing are those baby songs in the ship. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gilbert Gottfried is 62 years old today. John Turturro is 60. Cindy Wilson, singer for the B-52s, is 60 years old. And Ali Larder, who is lovely and talented. You remember her from Heroes?
Sure.
And also she's currently on Pitch over there on CBS, 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He wanted it.
We forced it on him.
No, we
didn't.
He
did not ask for that at all.
He wanted it. He was all hands.
Once it happened,
he wanted it.
She was all over him. There's nothing he could have done. But it wasn't like he said, Eric, can you get me a stripper? It was
You're wrong, sir.
No, it's
guys,
the same thing.
We're on
now
the air.
This nurse is going to go to the Gray Bar Hotel, and you're going to walk free, Kevin. And that's what this makes
song
me
is over, guys. We're on the air. Actually,
you
we're on the air right
jail.
Now.
Jail.
I'm not positive how we ended up there.
Because Ralph was talking about the 100-year-old that you got a lap dance for that one time.
All right. I just recapped. She's being charged. And there's a very real possibility that this very attractive, nice, young, blonde nurse who gave a lap dance for a 100-year-old in this facility could do jail time for this act.
Yeah!
They're calling it a felony.
That's hot.
It's not hot.
It's not hot.
And I just brought up that years ago, we also had a 100-year-old friend on this show.
Yes.
And Kevin forced a stripper to give him a lap dance.
That is not true.
It's true.
He
and
asked
you're walking
for it?
Around free, and that nurse is now in jail,
he
and
wanted
I
it?
Want you arrested.
And she said he was all hands.
That's alleged.
Does seem like the law is not being applied evenly here, is what it sounds like
That's
to me.
That's all I'm saying.
Kevin, you got some spleen.
I mean,
to
I don't feel like I should be in jail.
You should be in jail and in a bag in the desert, more importantly.
Kevin, too. Both of us in a bag in the desert.
Yep. Those bags are starting to pile up out there in the
Do
desert.
Do we each get our own bag? How does it work?
Sure. I'm not an animal.
Okay.
You both get your own bag. That's for sure.
All right. By the way, still no telephones.
No.
Just so
no.
You know. Still can't update.
No phones.
Still can't talk to anyone on the phone at all.
It,
can't do any giveaways.
Is laughable.
What?
Yes, it is.
What are the chances, honestly, that we just didn't pay the bill?
50-50.
Yeah, 50-50. I was going to say there's a pretty good chance of that. Yeah.
Sure. How often have we had something just disappear and it turns out that just they stopped paying for it?
Mm-hmm. 90 days ago, we stopped paying for stuff, and the cable will get shut off. We'll go, what happened?
Yeah.
No, we have seen that happen with cable back in the day. We saw that happen with newspaper subscriptions multiple times where we just didn't pay the bill. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what's happening here.
Good times.
Right. Let's limp across the finish line, shall we?
Ralph
let's
is here
do
now
it.
With the showbiz beat.
We're marathon runners. We have a compound fracture of the fibia. We're just going. What's the big one? What's the little one? Little one down by the ankle there. Makes my foot loose.
I don't know the difference between the fibia and the tibia.
The fibia and the tibia. I think the tibia is the big one.
All right. I don't know.
And the fibia is the little one.
I feel like you're getting mired in details that don't matter.
Yeah, it matters to all the nursing students out there who are listening who want you in jail because one of their own is going away. Have you seen her, by the way, the nurse?
No. Little 26-year-old blonde? Yeah.
Wow.
In Ohio? Yeah.
I want to be in that hospital.
That's what
I
was saying, by the way.
But I think he had dementia. I think that was the bummer part of that whole story.
So he won't remember. It doesn't mean he didn't enjoy it at the time.
That's like Bean's whole career.
That's Bean at krock.com.
That should be titled Bean's autobiography. So I don't remember it. Doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it at the time. All right, let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel, shall we?
and how it's his fault that they screwed up that whole Best Picture thing at the end of the Oscars?
I'm not sure that it was his fault.
Well, you're not talking to the right people.
Innocent bystander, really.
Dick.
Right. Matt Damon gave an interview to Entertainment Tonight, and said, I was the one person who wasn't surprised that it all got screwed up. That's what they get for hiring Jimmy, he said to the reporter. You know, they got what they paid for. So at least Matt Damon is the one who says it was all Jimmy Kimmel's
fault. I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right? Jimmy or Matt? Who do you want to punch there?
Kimmel or Damon?
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Who?
Both, okay.
Who, Bob?
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Did you see Robert De Niro during the mean tweet segment of the Oscars?
Yes.
He was the only one who seemed that he was really not having it.
He was annoyed, yeah.
He was not having a good time with that segment. Yeah, I play grandfathers. I'm going to play great-grandfathers. F you. Seems like he would punch that guy in the face who wrote that.
And I think Jimmy Kimmel went back and did a whole mean tweets with him last night with Robert De Niro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Tomorrow we'll find out who's on Dancing with the Stars.
We found out today, Ralph.
Well, we have an idea. The actual official cast list will be revealed tomorrow on Good Morning America, but we believe we know.
The Louisiana Creeper.
He's not going to be there.
Senor Grande?
No, Senor Grande couldn't make it.
Bobo.
No.
Was that a yes or a no on Bobo? You can't shake your head. We're on the radio.
Can't speak.
Ladies and gentlemen, Punxsutawney Phil.
No, how about Punxsutawney Phil?
Neither of those guys are making it. Erica Girardi has been confirmed, at least according to this source.
Who?
Erica Girardi. She's no Bobo, but she's still pretty famous.
Is she?
She's from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay. I don't watch that show.
Nick Viall.
Don't recognize him.
The Bachelor. Nick, the Bachelor.
From how many seasons ago, though?
From this season.
But why would we remember a guy from way back then?
We just talked about him this morning.
That guy's such a zero. How is he on another show?
Because when he talks, he doesn't move his jaw sometimes.
Right.
Jokes like this.
How did he book another show?
Because he's dreamy. Fifth Harmony's Cormandy Cordai.
Becky's with the good hair.
Simone Biles. American Olympic gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Olympians, Nancy Kerrigan. Why? Remember her when she got
sure
hit
right.
the leg by
Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Morris from Glee.
Fan Bing Bing.
No, Fan did not make the list.
Dave points out, by the way, that we know Heather Morris as an actress from, she was Brittany on the Glee TV show.
Yeah, she was one of the
She also is a professional dancer and has toured with
She was a backup dancer for like Britney Spears or stuff, wasn't
Beyonce
she?
And a bunch of people, yeah.
That seems to give her an advantage.
She can't be on this show,
and
right?
I almost feel like she's not an amateur at all as a dancer and she should be disqualified from this.
Well, we haven't even heard the actual list yet, and Dean is disqualifying people.
The name of the show isn't Dancing with the Amateurs.
That's true.
It's Dancing with the Stars. I think it could be any level.
But I think we all know that that's the draw of the show, is that people who shouldn't be ballroom dancing have to learn how to do it.
Well, all I know is Miss T is going to be on as well.
Okay, now we're talking.
And T, I think, he has an unfair advantage, too. My prediction, pain. Pity the fool don't pass a doble with me. Come on. He's going to be awesome.
If Mr. T is in fact announced tomorrow, Dave, we are putting in the request now to get T on the show as many times as possible.
He's got to go right into rehearsals.
As many times, as often as possible, we want T on during the course of his
appearance. We'll go to him if we have to.
Yeah. Okay, we'll have a weekly T update.
I like it.
Upteat, we'll call it.
I'm not sure that's going to be the deal.
I'm not sure that's going to stick.
I was in a diner last week with my wife having lunch, and in walks T.
Mr. T.
Are you kidding me?
And he's like, hey, how's it going? And he knew everybody. It was like shaking hands. It was like he was the mayor of the diner, and no one could be a more jolly, happy person. Everybody was happy to see him, and he didn't turn down a request for a picture or an autograph or a handshake. He's just the best person.
He is.
Love me some tea.
When he came in on our show that time, remember, we wanted to write him in for president.
He,
we just let
no
him run
more
everything.
Inspirational and positive and makes more sense.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
He did not invent Booyah. and I'm looking forward to our upteat that we're going to have each and every week.
Let's not call it that.
We're calling it the upteat. Can we just call it the upteat?
No!
I mean, because he's Mr. T.
Update, update.
I know, I get
with
it.
T.
Right.
Upteat.
I don't think that's going to. I'm not sure that's going to work.
Well, you're missing out. Start our selling these ideas to another radio show if you guys don't start paying attention.
One with phones?
That's
our
right.
Friend Micah writes in, Ralph is correct. The tibula is the big one.
That's
the fibula is the small one. Hashtag I'd call, but you didn't pay your bill.
Correct.
Oh, is it tibula and fibula?
Yes.
I thought it was tibia and fibia.
Well, he said tibia and fibula,
and fibula
is what he said. That's
okay,
what he
so
said,
the tibia and the fibula.
So there you all go. Right. So the more we know.
Should we go through the arm with the ulna and the radius?
I don't feel like we should.
Ulna, the radius, the humerus. Then you have the scapula. The, I used to know all the bones in the body.
How do you know all these?
Because I went to school.
Because Ralph's a doctor, for God's sakes, Bean. What's wrong with you?
That's right, Bean.
Why do some people tune out?
I'm an orthopedic surgeon. That's what I do after this.
I see.
I leave here and I go right into surgery.
He does real work.
Didn't you take biology courses?
Yeah, 150 years ago.
Well, you go through the body. You name all the bones.
Boy, I don't remember any of that.
Shocking.
Right?
And now is Mr. T's upteat. Come on. You guys don't appreciate it. Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I will be taking the stage. Kevin is a wildly entertaining fella, and I do my best to keep up. We have a good time at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Friday night. Join me and Kevin Smith. If you'd like to come out, you can go to improv.com to get more details and tickets. We'd like to see
you
there.
Well, that's just sad.
It's not sad at all. It's quite joyful. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ali Larter is 41 years old today. B-52 singer Cindy Wilson is 60. John Turturro, great, great actor, is 60 years old.
Did you watch that The Night Of?
I did not. I heard good things.
He was phenomenal in it.
He's doing a sequel to Big Lebowski with his character Jesus.
Oh, I love that.
Yes,
I loved him as a.
Can't wait to see that. And Gilbert Gottfried is 62, and who could guess? Look at me. I'm so vital and flexible. Look, I can put my head behind my hand. What? I don't know. Just go on with your program. You have no phones. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning is an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday, so we've got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices like we do. Got your tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We've got comedian Jimmy Pardo on the program. And Dolph Mother Effin Lundgren.
That's what I'm talking about.
In studio tomorrow morning on an all-new show.